Welcome to today's CPA.com podcast. My name is Samantha Mansfield. I'm the Director of Professional Development in Community here with CPA.com. Today, we are talking to Andy Lester from Lester & Company.
Hey, Samantha. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Andy, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your practice?
Sure. Happy to. So I'm the owner of a small firm based in Dallas, Texas, called Lester & Company. The firm's been around for about 11 years, and I actually started basically as a sole practitioner, so no staff, really no office, back in 2007, and kind of slowly over time developed into just basically a small firm, very compliance-focused. In about 2012 or so, I actually attended probably one of the first CPA.com workshops. I think they were probably just getting started around that time, right?
Yeah.
That really kind of shifted my entire world, honestly, kind of learning about this new business model around CAS. We were already doing a lot of write-up work at that point in time. You know, this was just kind of a light bulb that went off that, you know, there's actually an entirely different business model that can be built around this service line. So that really kind of changed the whole direction for me. We are today, about 80% of our practice is client accounting services, and we specialize in the restaurant industry. So all of our clients are multi-unit restaurant companies. So it's been a bit of an evolution. We've kind of rebooted a few times, but very excited to see the growth that's come from CAS and continue that journey.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, because like you said, just even in the 11 years of your own practice, you've had a fair amount of transformation. You mentioned really starting compliance and then moving to the client accounting advisory, or as you referenced it, a CAS practice. So with that transformation, you know, one of the things we want to really talk about here today is how you measure a successful CAS practice. And you and I got talking about this, and especially in preparation for a benchmark survey on client accounting practices that CPA.com released in the summer of 2018. You and I really got talking about some sophisticated KPIs that you're running in your practice today. Can you tell us how that started and how you developed all of these KPIs to measure the success?
Sure. So really the way it started was because, you know, we really started to grow. Once we decided to specialize in one vertical, that's really what jump-started our growth as a practice. And so, you know, early on, I mean, when a practice is very small, you know, from my perspective, as the owner, I mean, I could pretty much intuitively understand, you know, what was working and what wasn't. But the piece that was really missing is when I started to think about really rapid growth and saying, okay, what does the world look like if this practice becomes, you know, twice as big or five times as big or even 10 times as big, is I had no understanding or visibility whatsoever into the underlying financial performance of our client engagements. I mean, I could look at the practice as a whole, but when you're very small, you know, how do you develop a model? These are the questions I was asking myself. How do I develop a model that I can validate that, you know, essentially the way we're structured in terms of pricing and staffing and all of this is actually going to work if we get a lot bigger? So that was a really big wake-up call for me, because I realized that I needed to really get a handle around how to measure the financial, not only the financial performance, but just the overall performance of our CAS practice. I was starting from zero. So that was really the impetus. And it was probably about 18 months or so ago that I really got serious about this, because I was starting to have to answer questions around, you know, where are we, what clients are we making money on? What types of clients do we make money on? You know, what does our staffing model look like? I mean, all these questions started to become very important. I had no way to answer them. So that was really what got me serious about focusing on KPIs and metrics and trying to develop some kind of a framework for really running this business.
Which is excellent because we run into a lot of firms that are building out this client accounting advisory and saying, really, the metrics of a compliance-oriented practice aren't working.
In right.
It sounds like you found the same. So what wasn't working with the compliance-oriented metrics that was preventing you from really being able to answer those questions you just said that you had about your CAS practice?
Well, I think fundamentally, you know, at least for us, our CAS practice is a completely different business model than, you know, sort of the traditional compliance, you know, bill by the hour type of business model. You know, all of our engagements are fixed fee. And, you know, in talking with colleagues, I think my sense is that's probably fairly common in terms of firms that have CAS practices, although I'm sure not universal. But, you know, the issue is really very simple, which is if we're executing a specified scope of work on a fixed fee agreement, you know, the kind of the standard CPA for metrics don't really apply anymore. I mean, billable rates becomes a meaningless term or a meaningless idea in that model. At least that's how I feel. So the way that you measure the performance of the business has to be different because the underlying business model is very different. And then, you know, you have the issue where in a lot of CAS engagements, there's a tremendous amount of heavy lifting through the client onboarding process. And this whole concept of, you know, bringing a client on board and, you know, assessing their current status of their business and their accounting structures and all of it goes into really transitioning a client's accounting needs onto our platform. It's just a completely different approach, right? So for me, looking at things the way that I had been before just wasn't working. I wasn't getting the information I needed.
I think those are all really excellent points because we may think in any situation you have a client onboarding that you're doing, you know, with any new client that you bring on, and many of the progression of working with a client is the same. But I think what you just highlighted there, because of the level of the engagement and the software that you're more using as being that outsourced accounting for the client, it really does change the way the metrics and the margins and the realization and all of that work.
Absolutely.
That's what you've been identifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, when we talk about this, and I just threw out that metric of realization, I know you went through a stage of where you weren't tracking time, but now you've gone through this 18-month transformation or evolution of building your KPIs. What's your firm's stance on time tracking, and why did you choose that answer?
So that's a great question. Yeah, I resisted time tracking internally as long as I could, mostly because I personally am horrible at it. but ultimately, and by the way, I'm very, you know, sympathetic to the arguments against timesheet entry, most specifically the notion that there's no such thing as an accurate timesheet. I mean, I think that's largely true. But I think where I ultimately came down on this question is I needed some way to understand my, you know, the essentially the cost of delivering our services. And I have not been able to figure out another way to get the granularity that you need, even if it's not 100% accurate, let's say it's 70% accurate, in terms of, you know, the way different staff might complete their timesheets and the way they might, you know, measure their own activities. That's never going to be perfect, of course, but getting 70% of the way there was a lot better than where I was before. And being able to truly understand what it takes to deliver our services. I mean, if we say we're going to do A, B, and C for a client, and we say we're going to charge them X, you know, I have to understand what it's going to take to actually follow through on that commitment. Because again, we get back to the scenario of growth. If the practice is, you know, on a growth trajectory, so our practice is growing at 25% a year right now, right? So if, as that growth continues and as that compounds, being able to model out our staff, you know, really refine, really just the capacity planning around growth, that's really ultimately what we needed the time entry for. And then that's allowed us to start to develop some metrics around project level profitability, which has been extremely helpful. I mean, that's really how I run things now, is looking at our gross margin on a project basis.
Excellent. So that takes me to, what metric do you think most firms should be tracking but are not today?
Ooh, that's a great question. So I think I'll take this in two pieces. I think the first piece is recurring revenue, fixed fee engagements. Tracking your monthly recurring revenue, I think, is really important, because that's ultimately the metric that that drives the fundamentals of our business, is how much are we taking in revenue on a recurring basis, and then looking at that growth. So that's the first part. And when I say recurring, that's splitting out all of the project revenue or things that other services or things that are not truly recurring. Mm-hmm. The second piece, and I think we're kind of the next phase in our evolution, is to start looking at metrics that aren't strictly financial, but tie more into evaluating our clients' experience in working with us. And so, you know, just as a couple of examples, one of the projects that we're working on right now is to develop a framework so that we can track our performance relative to delivering projects on time. Mm-hmm. So, and when I say projects, that could be financial statement deliverables, it could be, you know, whatever the output is that is part of our engagement. So are we actually delivering our services according to our scope on time, and tracking that as a metric? Another example could be, you know, how long does it take our staff to respond to client inquiries? You know, are we delivering efficiently? You know, starting to look at some of those more performance metrics that tie into, you know, are we delivering a good experience for our clients? So I think that's kind of the next phase. I don't know if that's, I don't know how many firms track those types of things, but I feel like that's just kind of the next evolution or the next phase for this.
Sure. Well, I find it interesting that you highlighted separating the recurring revenue to the project revenue, because part of what we ran into with even running the client accounting advisory services in the summer of 2018 is that many firms reported back that wasn't even split from, say, write-up services or back reporting. And so I think your point on that, of really making sure that you're splitting that revenue, and we know what the time is, what the investment is, and then understanding really what your margins are on that is key.
Absolutely. And that's at a high level, that's exactly how we developed our KPIs around the financial performance of our CAS practice, because you have the whole onboarding phase, which, you know, from a margin perspective is always going to be less. You know, there's always a lot more work at the beginning. Yeah. But it's really when you get to a period of stability with the client relationship, where you're through all of that lift and you're basically just in your normal day to day, looking at the recurring revenue you generate and the margin on that revenue is the key, to me, is the key to validating the underlying profitability of the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so key, that the time that's being spent doing the cleanup work or the onboarding or the implementation, making sure that those are not bringing down what the margins are on that recurring work. As I mentioned, I think, but certainly what we observed in responses is that true separation is not taking place. So I think that's...
And we actually set up separate projects for onboarding and implementation, so that the time entry and the revenue, you know, so when I look at a project P&L, I'm looking at the implementations and any project work or out of scope work separately from the underlying recurring piece. So that's having that separation has been very, very helpful for us.
And so, Andy, just one last question for you too. One of the key success factors for a productive KPI, key performance indicator, is having buy-in from your team and visibility to that. How do you share, or what metrics do you share on a regular basis with your team?
So that's also something that's kind of an evolution for us, where I'm not fully as transparent as I would like to get to be, mostly just because of the issue of just having the systems in place and the means to efficiently communicate this stuff. Uh-huh. But what we're doing right now is basically looking at revenue, and then we're looking at gross margin by project or by client. So what I mean by gross margin is the revenue earned less the direct costs of staff, you know, based on the time entry, plus the any technology costs, you know, bundled, you know, cost of software that we use to deliver services. So that's how I define gross margin. And that metric, that percentage, we track and we do communicate, because it's important for my team to know, you know, are we hitting the levels that we need to be? Are we hitting our targets, basically?
Absolutely. Keeping them informed, helping them to know what plays into that decision. So on a daily basis, right, they can say, am I contributing? Am I not? And trying to use discernment.
And just, yeah, exactly. And also just giving them some understanding of, you know, ultimately, we all want to work more efficiently. You know, it's to the client's benefit, it's to our benefit. And so, you know, even just having some level of awareness of the impact of how you spend your time. I mean, sometimes it just creates a different framework where it's like, oh, well, sure, I could spend this extra hour to build this, you know, certain spreadsheet that's going to automate this process, but that's going to save 2 hours a month going forward. Right. And that's really exciting. I mean, I feel like I'm contributing now towards the broader mission, right? So those are the kinds of things I want to encourage.
Absolutely. And I think that's a fantastic example, because I run into this question all the time from firms where their teams are so committed and so devoted, and it's about making sure that they're doing everything they can for the client. But sometimes we do have to take that step back, have the bigger picture, and say, I'm going to take that extra hour now, which is just going to make us that much more efficient down the road. And I know it's hard to think sometimes of taking that extra hour now when I've got all these deadlines sitting here. Sure. But that's fantastic and good for you for helping create that culture and that awareness in your firm as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Well, Andy, we thank you so much for your time here today. This is a topic on the KPIs for a CAS practice that is just very on the top of mind for so many firms. And so I really appreciate you being willing to share the evolution that you've gone through with this and how you've come to some of the metrics that you rely on.
Sure, my pleasure. And if I can just, you know, insert a plug here for the Digital CPA Conference and really the community through CPA.com in really helping, you know, I mean, a lot of these things that we've implemented that have made a tremendous difference for us. You know, these aren't necessarily things I thought of myself, right? I mean, one of the big values that I've gotten over the years out of attending digital is talking to other colleagues and, you know, other folks that are on the same journey as I am, and say, how are you looking at this? And, you know, I've gotten some fantastic ideas from other firm owners and other practice leaders just through conversations with digital. So just wanted to throw that out there too.